Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-230-2777. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-230-2777, 800-230-2777, or biglou.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. New fallout after a photo was published in the New York Times showing a flag flown upside down at Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito's home. Just days before the inauguration of Joe Biden, it typically symbolizes a nation in chaos.
The Democratic chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee says Samuel Alito should recuse himself from any cases involving January 6th defendants, including Donald Trump. It comes as Alito acknowledges to the New York Times that an American flag was flown upside down outside his Northern Virginia home days after the January 6th attack. That same symbol of distress was carried by rioters into the Capitol. Alito says his wife flew the inverted flag to get back at a neighbor who had posted an anti-Trump sign.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. Texas officials still assessing the widespread damage caused by last night's deadly storms, with hurricane-force winds ripping through Houston. More than 700,000 still without power. And stocks are up, and the Dow is flirting with the 40,000 mark again today. This is ABC News. Tensions are escalating in the skies above the Korean Peninsula.
South Korean and U.S. fighters in drills over central South Korea. The F-35s and F-22s alternating between attack and defense modes. Riled by the activity, which it sees as an invasion rehearsal, the North then fired suspected short-range ballistic missiles off its east coast. In recent months, it's extended its weapons testing as part of its efforts to enlarge and modernize its capabilities while diplomacy remains stalled. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
A warning from Sony Music Group to artificial intelligence companies. In a letter to 700 AI developers, Sony Music is prohibiting them from using its music for training or developing AI without explicit permission. The company asked the AI developers to provide details of its music used by next week. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
You're going to feel a puff of air.
Zhong's Optometry has set their sights on staffing up.
Try the next line. Hey, Kim, can you tell our 2 o'clock we're running 15 behind? Sorry, we're a bit backed up today.
He needs an optometric technician to keep an eye on it all.
Where are the dilation drops?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Is switching your wireless service to Total by Verizon easy?
Totalmente.
And you get unlimited 5G data? $25 a line for 4 lines on the unlimited plan? At an amazing price? With no contracts. Should you switch to Total by Verizon? Definitely.
Totalmente.
Find a store or switch suavemente at totalbyverizon.com. Monthly rate when you activate without a pay, plus taxes and fees. Discount begins the month after you enroll. Additional terms apply. See website for data management practices.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Another dismembered body part has been located along Lake Michigan, this time in Illinois. Police in Waukegan say an arm was spotted along a lakeside beach there. The Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office says they've contacted the family of Sade Robinson about that discovery, though there'll be no confirmation on who the arm belongs to until DNA results are returned. Several of Robinson's remains were found around Milwaukee County since she was reported missing following a first date she had with 33-year-old Maxwell Anderson on April 1st. Anderson is charged with first-degree intentional homicide, mutilating a corpse in connection with the 19-year-old woman's death. Meanwhile, Anderson's attorneys will receive more time to review the case. In court Thursday, Anderson's defense attorney, Anthony Cotton, says they've been provided a hard drive from the state with police reports, surveillance video, and crime lab reports.
The state has been very good about providing discovery to the defense. There have been really no communication issues or anything of that nature. But once I have the material reviewed, then we'll be prepared to schedule accordingly.
Anderson will return to court in mid-July. That's a decision that frustrates Robinson's family.
Just wanting closure and wanting this to be able to move forward quickly.
One person is dead after police respond to a stabbing in Beloit. The Wisconsin Department of Justice says when police found a woman who had been stabbed, they also spotted another person at the scene who was armed with what authorities call an edged weapon. When that person threatened to harm a second person supposedly in the home, an officer used a less lethal option to subdue them. When that didn't work, a second officer shot the armed person who died at the scene. The woman who was stabbed is hospitalized in stable condition. Police later found no one inside the home. One officer was treated for minor injuries. The officers involved are on administrative leave. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Abundant sunshine today and summer-like temperatures for the entire weekend. In fact, today we'll climb to the upper 70s and flirt with 80 degrees, and then we soar into the mid-80s for tomorrow. Chances of showers and thunderstorms fire up in the afternoon. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 76.
Rallied on the back of a super strong one-week rally in wholesale beef.
Live from the final hours via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Brian Doherty from Total Farm Marketing. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Dude, you must be having a barbecue this weekend, huh?
Barbecue?
Yeah, the way that beef market traded this week, somebody someplace is looking for a big increase in demand.
It could be my barbecue. It's probably the Grady family's barbecue.
Probably.
That's got the market's attention.
Probably. Yeah. The way that Brian and those two boys can put beef away, the market's got to pay attention to that. There's no question about it. No doubt. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis.
Help.
And big rally in the beef market this week with a big rally in the live cattle and feeder cattle markets as well. That's really the bright spot of the ag markets. There was some strength in the soy complex, but for the most part, it was a defensive down week in the grain and livestock markets. So the market is trying to adjust to a lot of different things that are happening right now. Dude, there is news coming at them from all different directions. On the feedstock supply side of the renewable diesel market over to planning delays, but we've got a window that's opening in the middle of the country to too much rain in southern Brazil, not enough rain in northern Brazil. It's and then throw Russia into the conversation as well with a freeze in southern production areas.
Yep.
So a lot to sort out.
Yep. Yeah, and really, can it be said that the number one factor moving traders is the number one factor moving traders? We don't necessarily know what that is. It just depends on what they decide to prioritize. If they find the Russian news suddenly horrifyingly bad, that may that's your primary driver. If it's, you know, rain, a lack of rain here or there or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Just hard. It's so hard to keep track of it all.
Yep. Yep. That's why I'm glad that we've got Brian Doherty from TFM by Stuart Peterson with us to help sort it all out today and maybe give us some ideas on where the market's, at least what they will be looking at going forward. So
that's good.
Okay. Yeah. You ready? Should we launch in?
I'm all set. Wheat futures ended this week with a fourth consecutive lower close, Chip. The pattern in wheat futures this week was mostly steady opens and a rally in the overnight session and price pressure during the day with a move to the lows late in the day session.
Yeah.
That drained upside momentum out of the market as the July soft red winter wheat contract gave back all of Monday's sharp rally. Hard red winter wheat futures saw similar price action as traders reacted to reports from the annual Wheat Quality Council HRW Wheat Tour, where scouts saw better than average yield potential across Kansas. Freeze damage to the Russian wheat crop supported prices at the start of the week and reports from Russia's southern production areas. July HRW wheat futures were 11.5 cents lower at 661.75. July SRW wheat down 12 cents to 651.25. July spring wheat closed at 711.5. That's down 9.25 cents, Chip.
Volatile week. We saw a big rally on Monday and then 4 days down. And when everything was said and done, July soft red winter wheat futures down 12.25 cents this week. July hard red winter wheat futures, HRW, down 11.5 cents. And July spring wheat futures down 8.5 cents.
Well, Chip, the drop in wheat prices tugged corn prices lower as well, although a case could be made that corn futures led price declines this week. July corn futures posted an outside week with a high range open and a low range close to complete a downside reversal on the weekly chart.
Yeah.
A tight window for corn planting progress is open in several areas of the Corn Belt right now. That added to price pressure in corn futures. The forecast calls for more planting delays beginning early next week. Rains are also expected for Mato Grosso do Sul and Mato Grosso, Brazil's Safrinha corn crop areas over the weekend. Conditions next week will look more like a seasonal dry season in Brazil. July corn futures 4.5 cents lower today, 452.5. September corn down 5.25 cents to 462.5. December corn futures closed at 476.5, down 5.25.
Yeah, corn definitely a leader to the downside this week. July corn down 17.25 cents. December corn down 15.5 cents.
Soybean meal futures shrugged off early price pressure, lifting a weight from soybean prices. Bean oil futures accelerated the upside correction at the end of the week as traders digest details of U.S. imports of Chinese used cooking oil to renewable diesel refiners, which have resulted in an oversupplied market, at least for now. Yep. Selling in bean futures was also limited by confirmed reports from Rio Grande do Sul of damage to roughly 15% of the bean crop there due to heavy rains on unharvested beans. July soybean futures traded above 1220 each day this week and finally closed above that resistance today. The close near the high of the week should build upside momentum in bean futures for the start of next week. July beans were 11.75 cents higher at 1228. August beans up 8.5 cents to 1225.25. November beans closed at 1203.25. That's up 4.25 cents today.
July soybeans on the week gained 9 cents. New crop beans down 2.5 cents. So some spread action was taking place in the soybean market this week. There's no question about that. And there was spread action in the product markets as well. July bean oil this week up 83 points, but July soybean meal down $3.10 a ton.
Well, Chip, cotton futures collapsed early this week and spent the last 3 days of the week trying to recover from that price pressure. The overall trend in cotton futures is still to the downside. July cotton today was 35 points lower, 75.89. Chip?
Yeah, July cotton on the week down 142 points.
Well, heavyweight choice graded boxed beef prices rallied another $3.38 this morning on moderate movement. Select graded boxes were also higher. From last Friday to this morning, choice graded beef rallied nearly $19 per hundredweight. That helped to lift front month futures to the highest close since March 25, you think? June live cattle 202.5 higher at 181.05. October futures up 132.5 to 181.95. August feeders $2.50 higher at 259.85. Chip, how'd we do on the week?
On the week, June live cattle up $4.90. August feeder cattle up $8.95. So big move to the upside in the cattle complex. And I, Davis, I don't know if I recall a $20 rally in the box beef in 1 week. That was a phenomenal move.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
Well, and finally here, lean hog futures drifted to the downside this week as futures narrow the premium to the cash lean hog index. June hogs today, $1.87.5 lower, $96.50. October hogs down 70 cents to $83.97.5, Chip.
Lower on the week as well. June lean hog futures down $1.87.5. So really an impressive week in the box beef trade, and it's turned packer margins back to the plus side. Those the idea that we're going to see some packer profits going forward has translated into expectations that we should see some higher cash bids going forward as well, and that's what's bringing the support into live cattle futures. All right, Brian Daugherty, Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson, is up next here on AgriTalk.
Ahead of planting season, the Be Sure campaign, organized by the Growing Matters Coalition, is back again to protect pollinator habitats and safeguard biodiversity across America's farmland. Since 2019, the Be Sure campaign has helped educate millions of growers and applicators on best management practices and responsible stewardship when applying neonicotinoid products. For guidance, tips, and resources, visit growingmatters.org/besure.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
This is Andrew McRae, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor now available at Anabus Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers at the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Hey. Oh.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Davis, I tell you what, I think the schedule is full for a lot of guys between right now and Saturday night. until further notice. Until Saturday night, because there is a chance for some showers across areas of the Midwest on Saturday night into Sunday morning.
Yeah.
But the best chance of rain comes on Monday and Tuesday.
Okay.
And between now and further notice, there's going to be seed going in the ground, as far as I can tell.
Bro, you left town here yesterday, and it got hot. It's 81 and sunny down here right now. I think so. I took the dog out this morning. I don't know, around 7 or something. I think I got bitten by a mosquito while I was out this morning. I think I got my first mosquito bite.
Wow.
Just
that's a bummer.
Caught me just right up off the top of the, like right on my forehead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No. Well, you know, there's plenty of forehead there for him to go for.
Well, and a lot of blood flow, you know, to keep that brain pumping.
Yes. Yep. Exactly.
I don't blame him.
Exactly. 79 degrees here in Northeast Iowa.
Yeah, so it's nice and toasty up there, too.
The sun is shining, and it looks pretty good right through the weekend.
Please, so, we have some more.
Yeah, mid-80s tomorrow.
Yeah,
so it should be a good day. Should be a good day. All right, Brian Doherty, Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson, is our guest analyst today. Hey, Brian, how's it going, man?
It's great. Thank you, Chip. But I got this vision of a big mosquito on Davis's forehead. So anyway.
When they latch on, they need to be careful if they latch on to my forehead there.
Well, and you know, he's drinking all these fancy teas.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. You just don't know what it's going to do to those mosquitoes with a, you know, some sort of a second hand buzz.
They've never seen blood this clean, brother.
Is that right?
Prime. It's prime is what it is.
That's it. That's it. Brian, how's things going up your way?
They're moving along. You know, we've been in an area that from a field progress area, some farmers are done. Some have had trouble getting started. A lot are in the middle, a lot are running around looking for fields that are ready. But we've got this little window as well, and I think a lot will finish up that hadn't. But it's going to get interesting here because 49% complete plant as of last Sunday, expectations for 75, got a little window here. And then the last 6 to 10 day forecast, not only have the Midwest, but it's the entire central United States above normal in rainfall. So there's some wet pockets out there. They're going to get wet again, and that'll get interesting toward the end of the month.
Yeah. They made a move really quick to finish up beans is what I understand. Waiting just as long as they can to get back into the field to finish up corn planting. But if things aren't perfect come Sunday afternoon, Monday morning, before that rain that's supposed to start Monday afternoon, they're going to go out and plant corn anyway. I just don't think there's any question about that. So maybe some stuff's going to get planted in less than ideal conditions.
And I think that already has happened to some degree, but it's not quite, for me, the 15th is kind of where the rubber hits the road. Mm-hmm. We've got a bit of a window here, it looks like, for many. And then again, it really gets important. And to that point, though, I always have to remind myself and maybe the listener as well that as May wears on, the days get warmer and longer, and you'll push a lot more hours. So it'll get there. But, boy, I got to tell you, there's some pretty copious rains in the forecast.
Yeah, that's right. Can it be a two-thirds done by when we get the update on Monday afternoon?
I got to think there's a good chance, and I'll tell you why. Because I talk to a lot of farmers, and they can make a lot of progress. And when they go, they'll go and they'll go long and they'll go hard, especially with the rain in the forecast. Yep. So it might not be ideal, but I think they're going to do their best to push as hard as they can and get as fast as they can, which means they're going to go a lot of hours and just roll. So just looking at the five-year average is 75%. We're at 49. Can we pick up 26? That might be a stretch, but to get to 65, 70, I sure think that's conceivable given the short-term forecast.
So if it's two-thirds done by the 19th of May, corn planting, it's going to be really tough to generate much of a planting delay rally in corn. I get it. I know the last 10% is always the toughest to get planted. I get that. Right. But it's going to be tough to generate a planting delay rally after that, isn't it?
Well, I think the market already in some ways told us that this week, With these forecasts came out and the market still tripped over itself. And I think part of that was there's three things going on here. You had a very significant amount of farmer selling at the end of last week and the early part of this week. The market got to levels that farmers, I think, said, I need to let some of this go. You had a technical signal. You had a bearish key reversal in corn. Now you've had a weekly bearish key reversal. You had a bearish key reversal in a wheat market that screamed higher that was providing underlying support. And then you had an export sales number this week that wasn't very impressive again. And word on the street is that Mexico's beginning to reduce the pace of buying from U.S. corn. They look at Brazil as a potential competitor. The market's trying to figure out these crop losses out of southern Brazil. They're limited in scope on the big picture, still supportive, and that may have provided beans some reason this week to hold together. But I think the expectation for planting progress to move right along, despite the radar having rain on it almost every day, was probably the biggest catalyst behind a defensive posture this week. And again, I think the traders, they're pretty quick. They know 2+ billion bushels of corn in the carryout. If the market isn't going up, they're going to be pretty quick to pull out of longs or get short and see if they can't make 10, 15 cents to the downside.
Yeah. Yeah. If that was it for a spring rally, it was pretty lackluster event for this corn market, wasn't it? It's disappointing.
I don't want to call it lame. If you take the percentage change, 446 was the low in December corn, and that occurred right at the end of February, to 496. So 496 and three quarters. So we had a 50-cent rally in corn. And so I like to kind of put percentages behind it. So if I take that 50 divided by 446, that's 11.2%. Again, for some reason, when we get past that 10% threshold, unless it's screaming higher, things seem to change. And sure enough, we got right into that 11% recovery, and it just changed this week.
Well, and the other thing that changed was many in the market, including myself, had been looking for that the covering of short positions by the professional trading funds, and they did some. They did a significant amount of short covering in a relatively short period of time, didn't they?
They absolutely did. And the market responded and the market rallied. But I feel badly this week for the market, I guess, because this was kind of the week to really propel it. We had some wet forecasts. We had a gap on December corn at 502, and the market was reaching up there, and it hit the 200-day moving average 3 days in a row. And then reversed and closed under that here on Wednesday, and then 2 days of follow through. So I don't know if the rally is over, but this was akin to taking some hot air out of the balloon quickly. Yeah. Yeah. And when you drop 20+ cents in 3 days in an uncertain weather environment, that's disappointing. Yeah. But again, reflects back to this idea that exports are slowing for now. You don't have enough adversity in the southern hemisphere second crop, Safrina.
Right, right.
And you've just had this expectation that farmers are going to make good progress and get it done.
Yeah.
We'll see on that one. But there's a confidence in farmers to get it done.
That's right. That's right. Okay. What happened to the crush pace in April, according to NOPA?
Sometimes you scratch your head, you don't have a good answer. I don't know. That was so far off the mark and so far from expectations. You don't know if it's a deviation or it's a sign of something significantly different. And it was just a month where demand didn't come in and the numbers showed up like they did. But that's, I think, the biggest deviation from expectations maybe ever.
Yeah.
And so I'm still trying to get my hands wrapped around if that's just an aberration or a sign of something bigger and problematic. One of the things that is problematic that I'd like to see, I think everybody would like to see pick up pretty soon, though, Chip, is the pace of new crop bean sales, which is basically non-existent. Yeah. So for the new marketing year, it's the slowest pace in 23 years. Only 1.8% of the USDA's projected target is sold at this point. That is a slow number, and it's more so disappointing because 2 years ago we were really off to the races and it's been straight down since on these early sales, again reflective of what's coming out of the southern hemisphere.
Yeah, what's coming out of the southern hemisphere, and it may be a bit of China just deciding, listen, we don't like the way that we're being talked about by U.S. leaders and leadership. We need to make our case known. We'll talk a little bit more about that. The concept of a unofficial rolling retaliation by China. We're talking with Brian Doherty.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where July HRW wheat futures were 11 and one half cents lower at 661 and three quarters. July SRW wheat down 12 cents, 651 and one quarter. July corn futures 4 1/2 cents lower on the day at 452 and a half. December corn futures closed at 476 and one half, down 5 1/4. July soybean futures 11 and three quarter cents higher, 1228. November beans closed at 1203 and one quarter. That's up 4 1/4 cents today. July cotton 35 points lower, 75.89. On your livestocks, June fat cattle 202 and a half higher on the day, 181.05. August feeders 250 higher, 259.85. June lean hog futures today, $1.87 and one half cents lower at 96.50. Get more market news every market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Abundant sunshine today and summer-like temperatures for the entire weekend. In fact, today we'll climb to the upper 70s and flirt with 80 degrees, and then we soar into the mid-80s for tomorrow. Chances of showers and thunderstorms fire up in the afternoon. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 76.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
All day, Davis. All day. We are here.
All day long. Yes.
That's right. You remember the old Dr. Pepper ad?
No.
Have
I'm
one
a pepper, your pepper?
No. You have one at 10 in the morning, you have one at 2 in the morning. Or 2 in the afternoon. Excuse me.
Now that's
10 in
back
the morning,
in the day.
2 in the afternoon. Yeah.
That's
yeah,
back in
10
the day
and 2.
When doctors would still prescribe you Lucky Strikes, right, for abdominal cramping?
Well, there may be that. That may be true. And you know what else they did with Dr. Peppers back in the day?
What's that?
You put some peanuts in the pop.
Really?
Yeah.
Like plain or dry roasted? Honey roasted, maybe. Salted.
Okay. Salted, roasted peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Straighten the old Dr. Pepper. Have one at 10, have one at 2, and your day is set. It's kind of like AgriTalk. 10 and 2,
that.
Baby.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to try that. 10 and 2. That's good.
That's right.
That's good.
That's right. It's also safety and driver's ed.
Keep her out of the rhubarb. 10 and 2.
Amen. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis. We're in the middle of a conversation with today's guest analyst, Brian Doherty, from Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. The start of the week, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
We got the announcement from the Biden administration that they were initiating some additional tariffs on imports of products from China. This all sounds very familiar to the last administration in how they're dealing with some of these trade issues, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. I think there were some raised eyebrows that we didn't see any talk about cooking oil. And,
right.
Yeah, I'm going to side note for just a second here. From one of my teammates, I got word that the Commitment of Traders report, we talked about the funds in the last segment, that they reduced positions by 31,000. So they were only short about 71,000 as of Tuesday. Remember, the Commitment of Traders report says as of Tuesday. My guess is they probably went back into the short side here Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But they really shaved it quite a bit here, and that was that building momentum upward that peaked on Tuesday.
Right.
But back
Good.
To the cooking oil. On the cooking oil here, what I found really interesting was an article actually last September by Reuters, and it was talk about the Biden administration's Inflation Reduction Act and what that did for the biofuels and then the explosion of cooking oil coming in from China because of the credit that processors can generate from that. Mm-hmm. So in a roundabout way, you're buying China's used cooking oil. It's pressures bean prices that doesn't help our it's right. Kind of a crazy cycle. I don't know if that's unintended consequences or whatnot, but that's a lot of cooking oil coming into the United States that 2 years, 3 years ago, no one even gave second thought to.
Yeah, exactly. And it's if there's anybody out there that's going to find a loophole or a some sort of an advantage in how they are going to be trading, it's going to be the Chinese soy traders. They've been doing it long enough. They know how to exploit that market, and it worked out really nice for them to bring in some palm oil to add it to used cooking oil to make it all used cooking oil, even though only a little bit of it was actually used, put it in a boat, send it over here to the renewable diesel refiners. And it's displacing soybean oil in that whole process. Now, as China builds up its production of sustainable aviation fuel, they're probably going to start keeping that at home, right?
I would think so. It's right now there's a market for it here, in particular in the U.S. It's about a third cheaper than the fresh vegetable oil. Yeah. And so the processors are going to buy what they're going to buy. We had a discussion in our team this morning about that. The bottom line was it's cheaper. That's why they're importing. It's cheap. Yeah. You can import it. It still competes, though. And the question is, if it will it compete in the future, or does China pull back? And then our soybean oil expectations to rise in supply there actually displaces it and creates a greater demand market here in the U.S.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. All right. What'd you make of the winter wheat tour this week?
I thought it was interesting. The 46.5 bushels an acre. Nice increase. Mm-hmm. I was expecting maybe a little lower given the conditions, what I'm going to call the western half of the state.
Yep.
But they've got a nice crop. One of the best in recent years. looks good. It's not in the bin yet. Talking to some farmers in the western part of the state, they certainly need some of this forecasted rain to really add some bushels. They're worried about light test weight again due to lack of moisture.
Yeah. Yeah. Much influence on the market, or do you think it pretty well fit market expectations?
It fit market expectations, yeah. I think. Yeah. The market didn't hardly budge when that was out. Everything tipped over toward the end of the week here, including wheat. And again, when you have an upswing market, you kind of, the saying is true, you got to feed the bull. You need a few dots to connect. And we ran out of dots at the end of the week, and the tour was just another added thing. It wasn't a shocker or a surprise. So from my perspective, I thought it was going to be just a little bit lighter, but the yield would be a little bit lighter. But it looks pretty solid at this point. The entire wheat complex, though, is an interesting story right now, because remember, wheat is a worldwide crop, and the U.S. only produces about 10% of the world's crop, and we're kind of the last resort at times for exports. Mm-hmm. But you got to watch what India does here if they're going to actually import wheat. These frosts that may have damaged the Russian wheat, they've had big crop after big crop. They've kept the pedal down, pushing it into the marketplace. All of a sudden, that supply picture could be changing, and it won't take too many other positive dots somewhere to keep this rally going. But I think for the moment, it looks like with that bearish key reverse, so it may have run its course.
Okay. All right. Talk to me about Class 3 milk futures. New high close. Not a new high today, but a new high close. That's an impressive move.
You know what's interesting in commodities is just not milk, but you can kind of look across the board. We saw it in cocoa, and you see it in copper, and you see it in gold, and you see it in some of these. They just all of a sudden start to move and get explosive. And wheat's almost in that category. It's got the same type of start to move. But when you look at the Class 3, another big update today, June contract, 33 higher at 21.45. I need to put that into some proper perspective here. The June contract on April 3rd was 16.31.
Yeah.
Now we're 21.45. That's a $5 rally, almost 33%, almost 50%. That is in a very, very very impressive move there. I just did the quick math, a little over 30%, 31%. What happened, I think, in that industry is we're plugging along. We're worried about export demand. I think you've got an underlying current of better export activity on the horizon. We've seen good activity to the south, into Mexico and the central Caribbean states and elsewhere. But I think you're going to see some things, and I'm maybe more wishful thinking, but I think you're going to see better activity out of China and elsewhere. I know we talk about tariffs and that, those type of things. But I look at the Shanghai Index, when I look at other things that China's been doing for 2 years to stimulate the economy, while they still have a terrible real estate market, they're still taking action. I think they're getting past COVID, getting past those poor real estate numbers. Big picture, macro perspective, and the market's going to see better demand for U.S. dairy products. That's part of it. The other part of it is keeping these cows in the lactation cycle a little bit longer to dump a beef calf on the ground. They're not as effective or efficient, and now we're going to run into a heifer shortage if we're not already there. And the market wasted little time with these processors all of a sudden pulled the trigger and started competing with each other.
Yeah. There's a lot going on in the dairy industry right now with that herd. There's no question about it. And trying to figure out exactly how they are going to balance the supply of heifers with the need for the replacement females in that herd, Brian. It's all the complicating factor is the value of the feeder calf.
One other complicating factor is nobody's quite sure, and I read a lot on how this flu is going to affect. And I don't know if the processor just said, we can't afford to wait around and find out that we can't get cows transported between states, and everybody's got to be tested, and all of a sudden we're going to be tight on supply or inventory, or this may have a bigger impact. I think this was the fact is there's plenty of it around. Buy it now and get a hold of it. I don't recall the cheese market ever exploding this fast, this hard, in just such a short period of time. And in particular, a time of the year where we typically don't see that. This would be something I would expect more toward the fall as they kind of prepare and stock up for the Christmas and football season and things where demand is traditionally a little higher.
Right. Okay, real quick, is that a rally to sell in the milk market?
I think it's a rally to hedge, right?
Okay.
So it's hard to pick a top, but these are really good values. It is something that dairy producers had not expected.
Yeah.
They're down and out, and now it's there. Don't let this one get between your fingers and slip away.
Right.
I think this is really good. When I look at, as an example, the average price for July through December, 1975, you've almost got a 20 in front of it. Fantastic rally here. Start hedging into this. Start defending. Start buying puts. Start buying puts, selling calls. Don't let it slip.
Hey, give me 30 seconds on your general attitude on grain hedging.
You got to keep in mind where the level of carryout is. And when the level of carryout is at higher levels like it is now, expect that rallies run out of gas quicker. So in corn hedging, 475 has been my pivot point. Anything 475 to 525, you should be selling and hedging December corn, beans, I think between 12 and 13. That's all I got for you right now because the carryouts are just too big right now.
Gotcha. Brian, have a great weekend. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you.
Brian Doherty, TFM.
Why is Navage perfect for allergy sufferers? Rhino Systems Medical Director Dr. Howard Levine explains.
If someone's exposed to allergens, they can get rid of those immediately by washing out the nose. Navage works by pulling saline in one nostril, through the nose and out the other nostril, sucking out allergens, mucus, dust, and germs. Experience on-the-spot relief so you could breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier.
Navage is available at Sam's Club, Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, or online at Navage.com. Navage, breathe easy.
Memorial Day deals are here at Lowe's. Right now, save big on Scott's Naturescapes mulch. Get 5 bags for just $10. And there's more. Get up to 40% off. Plus, save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances. These deals are selling fast, so start shopping now. Lowe's knows summer savings. Valid through 529. Mulch excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Appliance savings vary based on purchase. See Lowe's.com for details. Selection varies by location. While supplies last.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process, started Wesley Financial Group to do one thing, help people get out of their timeshare nightmare. When you buy a timeshare, the timeshare company can raise your annual maintenance fees at will. I recently helped a couple that had their maintenance fees go from $800 to $3,200 a year. They also received a $4,000 assessment for a hurricane that was over 1,000 miles away. Sound crazy? Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Want out of your timeshare? Call now for your free timeshare exit info kit. Call 800-970-3355. 800-970-3355. 800-970-3355.
Agriculture drives this country.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in conservation practices.
These programs help small farmers better their practice at a cost that they can afford.
They've helped me to not only take care of my family, but to take care of the land.
Today, these funds are at risk. Congress, protect conservation funding in the Farm Bill and keep agriculture viable for future generations. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
When I got out of the Marine Corps, I was not just, you know, working with my physical disabilities, I was emotionally broken. I remember thinking, how did I get here? How? It was affecting me in my marriage. My husband, he didn't know how to help me. He actually called Wounded Warrior Project. Wounded Warrior Project had this thing called Couples Odyssey.
It was an eye-opener, and I think it really saved our marriage.
They gave us books and resources and tools on how to help us with that.
I just love him. I love you, honey.
Me too.
Watching her fight for her mental health, fighting for other veterans, fighting for this family, helped me to fight too. Well, I always loved her, but I love her 10 times more for that.
Not all wounds are visible. If you or a loved one are suffering, visit woundedwarriorproject.org/not alone.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So outside, I wanna be.
So much waiting for me.
Yeah, I wanna go outside, I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
And welcome back to it, everybody. We appreciate you tuning in here to AgriTalk. It's me, your pal, Davis Michelson, Chip Lowry as well.
15 cars is a lot.
15 cars?
Yeah.
That is a lot.
That's a lot. I don't know if I need 15 cars.
My only reference is 16 tons. And I know from that you get another day older and
get?
Deeper in debt. I'm not sure what 15 cars get you. You know,
evidently it gets you rock star status.
If that's all it takes.
Yeah.
I can probably find the, maybe not. I don't know. It depends on the cars.
Right.
Do they have to run?
No. Get them up on blocks. Get them up on blocks out in the front yard.
I'm about halfway there now.
Yeah, you know, just as long as one of them's an 81 Firebird, you're fine.
I need a Buick Caprice that actually does still run, too.
Yes.
Those suckers never die. That and a Park Avenue.
Oh, yeah, and they've been running that thing on E85 since day one.
Yep, yeah. Ever since.
You betcha.
Hey, we mentioned it yesterday. Sort of at the tail end of the show, I feel like I want to just give this a little bit more time. Class 3 milk, the June contract currently up 33 to 21.45. Brian was talking about, you know, let's not pick a top in here. Let's hedge into this. Let's protect the downside. Talk to our dairy marketers and maybe just go over the same ground again, but let's make sure we get it here at 21.5 bucks in the June.
Yeah, I think what Brian is saying is when you've rallied more than 30% from the lows and we've gone from clearly unprofitable levels on milk prices to profitable levels on milk prices, you can't let that opportunity get away. I've talked about this time and time again in the cattle market. Even if the fundamentals are bullish, at the highs that, you know, where we were, that doesn't mean that you don't hedge. You hedge because you are guarding against a breakdown in the market. And I think that's the attitude that you got to have in milk prices right now. Go ahead and get some downside protection in place, just in case the rug gets pulled out from underneath that market. Mm-hmm. It ran up very quickly, and the air gets thin in a hurry in that kind of a market.
Yes.
If it runs out of air and turns around and goes back to the downside, it's going to happen in a hurry.
Mm-hmm. This is why I mentioned it. So get some coverage there. Give it some thought anyway. Continuing in the outside markets here, did you notice June crude oil right here at the end of the week up at $80.06, up 83 cents on the day of the July at $79.59.
Doesn't
feel very aggressive, but no, we're popping above.
But every commentary I read this week on crude oil mentioned $80 a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
That's the pivotal level. If we spend time above it, it's going to be on an inflationary trade. If we spend time below it, it could be on ideas that the economy is pulling back a bit and demand is going to be going down. The other thing that is thrown into the equation, and it's just happened over the last couple of days, are the consumer choices and the potential of consumer choice having an impact on the energy markets and overall demand going forward. Mm-hmm. Are you going to spend the money in the grocery store, or are you going to spend the money at the gas pump?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that magic $80 level.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go over to October live cattle, because I don't remember how long ago it was. A few weeks ago, somebody asked us if we favor a move to 190 in October fats. Yeah. Today we're up $1.32.5 over the 180 mark at 181.95. Would it just annoy the crap out of you to revisit that conversation real quick?
No, that's fine. Fundamentally, the supply side of the market says that the futures will continue to move up. The caveat on that are the carcass weights and the amount of beef that we are adding per head, just because we're processing at a heavier weight. So there's that. We've got to remember that and how much of an offset that is. But dang, just as when it comes to raw numbers, it's not like we're flooded with market-ready cattle supplies.
Mm-hmm.
And I would guess that things are going to tighten up further before they loosen up. And we're not starting to rebuild the beef herd yet. When we do start to rebuild the beef herd, which could happen this year, because there is grass in cow-calf country. When it does start to happen this year, or if it starts to happen this year, don't forget, you don't replace those females in the slaughter mix. Those females go out to pasture, and we don't get the beef from them for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
So one last dive in beef production gives you one last push to the upside, and that could happen by this fall.
Well, I got to say, if you absolutely just are in love with 190 live cattle, look out to the Feb. 189.12.5 at today's close up. $1.17.5 on the day. There's your 189, bro.
That's right. That's right. National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook. May 23rd through the 27th. Below normal temperatures expected in the central and northern production areas. North Dakota, South Dakota, most of Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin. Near normal temperatures expected in northern Kansas, Missouri, far southern Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. Above normal temperatures expected in the southern production areas. Above normal precipitation expected over the entire Corn Belt, May 23rd through the 27th. Step out to the 8 to 14 day. We've still got below normal temperatures expected in the central and northern Corn Belt areas. Above normal precipitation expected over most of the country. All right. Davis, what a week. It was good to see you this week, pal.
Oh, man, that was so good. So good. It fired me up, you know, recharged my batteries. And Big Apple Joe, too. Love spending with Joe.
That's
I'm going to bring my friend Michelle in on Monday morning.
Yeah, we've got Michelle Rook in on Monday morning for me. Davis will be here to keep the conversation going as well, along with Machinery Pete.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get-screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Smart businesses advertise on local radio. Durand's WRDN, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM. Business owners, listen up. What's the one advertising method that doesn't cost your customers money? Radio. It's portable. It's in cars, offices, homes, and businesses, and free to your potential customers. Radio works. Ask our advertisers, and you'll want your business on Durand's WRDN Radio at